today, consumers, you know, if we talk specifically about marketing, they're not interested in being sold a story. They're interested in hearing something that has that ring of truth around it that comes from an authentic place. And so that's our starting position, and that's what I would always recommend. There's no point in promising the world and delivering something less than that.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you the best minds in business and real estate to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate Podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent, and joined once again this week by my co-host, Mark Edwards.
Thanks very much for having me, Sam. We've got a really interesting episode this week. It's another episode of the Leadership Diaries.
Yes.
Which I'm very excited about every time I listen to one of these because I can see the end result coming along.
The end result being a book. Yes. I am going to write that book one day.
It's gonna, yeah. The book is in you.
The book is in me.
We're, of course, talking about Lisa Pennell, the head of marketing for the Ray White Group. Big remit on her shoulders. And it's actually quite amazing to actually hear her open the doors to what the marketing group of Ray White looks like for such a relatively small and nimble team to be able to service, what is it, three divisions or three brands underneath the Ray White group and 12,000 members. Absolutely incredible output that they get out of there.
They've come up with some amazing campaigns in the last year, you know, the hide and seek campaign and the great campaign where they did a big TV campaign. So I think everyone sort of looks at Ray White because they're the biggest franchise group and probably thinks that they've got this massive marketing budget, but they don't. They're pretty clever. But what was really interesting about my chat with Lisa is we did go into the thinking behind some of those campaigns. And also, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with Ray White's marketing, but they usually have a really good April Fool.
I know. Lisa goes into a bit of detail around that, isn't it?
Yeah, so we're sort of waiting to see if they bring that back this year. But Lisa talks about all sorts of things from the point of view of, you know, like how you can run marketing for such a diverse group of franchisees. So, you know, like what works for, say, Ray White in the inner city of Sydney is not necessarily going to work for someone in Ray White Rural in, say, Mount Isa. And there's so many different levels and nuances within that team and the things that they work on that it was really interesting just to dig in with her, some of the things that they were thinking about. And of course, the other reason that I was keen to chat with Lisa is she's actually the mastermind or the brains behind the Beyond the Bricks campaign.
Absolutely incredible initiative, isn't it? And I think, yes, sort of as of the time of recording, we're in excess of $1 million raised for the fire relief effort. I think also one of the amazing things is that it's not just a crisis mode campaign. There's the three phases to it. So it's crisis, rebuild, and then also ongoing support. So there's a lot of thought that's been put behind this, and there's also some really interesting information as to how you can become involved in the Beyond the Bricks initiative as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, it's an incredible feat getting all of the franchises and groups together on one page. I think I made a little quip in the brief the first day back is that, you know, nobody in the real estate industry around Australia can agree on a national education system, but thank God we got everyone on the same page.
She has heard of some amazing cats to get this one together.
Yeah, she has. And so, you know, like any support, obviously, that you can give to Beyond the Bricks, beyondthebricks.com.au. And then in addition to that, obviously, Lisa is a leader and has been a leader for many years. And so it was really great to dig into some of our Leadership Diaries questions with her as well.
We'll get on to the podcast very shortly, but one of the things that I really found useful out of this is that, yes, you can see this from the perspective where Lisa's sort of looking after a multinational brand with thousands and thousands and thousands of people, but you can take some of the tips and strategy and advice out of what she's been saying and apply it to anything.
Oh, definitely.
She spoke about social media marketing. She spoke about the importance of being on brand. You know, there was a few jokes in there about the brand police, but you can understand, though, that a brand the size of Ray White and being able to try and maintain a degree of consistency, but then also offering the support to enable people to be able to maintain their brand presence, but also be yourself at the same time.
Yeah, and they really do help their franchisees with that, which is I thought was really cool. So interesting. Anyway, as usual, I took notes.
You did, and you take them furiously.
I do. I'm back to being the school nerd again for 2020. So we've written the action guide for this podcast with all the actionable tips from Lisa, from everything to do with, you know, some of the marketing campaigns she talked about, to the leadership diaries, to the little tips that she gave us on social media and stuff like that. They're all in the action guide.
The book club are reading within Ray White.
Yeah, they do. They have a book club. Anyway, you can get those all at eliteagentelevate.com.
Yeah. I think on that note, let's get on with the podcast.
Enjoy the show. So welcome to the podcast, Lisa Pennell.
Thanks so much, Sam. Great to be here.
It's excellent to have you here, actually, because it's been a while since we've had somebody who is pure marketing at a franchise level on the podcast. So I'm kind of excited to ask you some marketing questions as well. But I think you're coming up for an anniversary as 2 years, marketing chief at Ray White, Australia's biggest group. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey so far?
You know, it's an interesting one, I guess, because although I've only been in charge of the marketing remit for the last couple of years, I have been involved with Ray White in various capacities over the last 2 decades. So it's been quite a journey to get to this point. I guess also important to understand that I wouldn't say I'm a marketer. I would say I'm a strategic business manager rather than a marketer. And I guess that's probably the most interesting thing about the marketing landscape is it has changed dramatically in the last few years with the advent of digital, and you know, obviously the internet's changed the game entirely. The ability to bring together different skill sets, you know, in a team and work strategically is probably more important than experience in marketing, you know, pure experience in marketing.
You've had a really busy Christmas in terms of you pulled together this fantastic initiative called Beyond the Bricks, which is the real estate industry's response to the devastating fires that we had over the holiday period. So can you tell me a little bit about how that idea came about and what was behind it, and how did you get everyone on the same page? Because we know that's difficult in this industry.
Well, I was fortunate to have worked with most of the leaders of the sort of sizable brands through the first negative gearing campaign in the 2016 election. I guess there was already a relationship there, and that was actually the first time that the industry had collaborated on anything of that scale. I can claim the idea to bring the industry together, but I certainly can't claim much more than that. It's definitely been a team effort. My team has been instrumental in pulling together collateral and websites and all of that sort of back-end stuff. But certainly each and every group that's participating has played a part. And I've actually been overwhelmed by the enthusiasm by which everyone has embraced the concept.
Yeah, so tell me about how some of the groups have been supporting the initiative.
I guess every group's sort of got their own plan and is handling the relief effort in different ways. Some groups have elected to pledge or contribute part of commission from each sale, or perhaps a transaction. It could be on property managements as well. Some groups are doing gold coin donations at open homes. Some groups are having charity fundraisers, might be an event or a, you know, charity auction. And other offices are sort of very much localized areas doing different things by different offices. So I guess this is an umbrella campaign, but each network and each office, in fact, within those networks has the ability to personalize or localize their campaign to whichever charity they want, whichever, you know, initiative they see value in.
How much have you raised so far? It's been a big effort.
Yeah, well, within 2 weeks, we'd hit the $1 million mark in sort of contributions and pledges. I guess the sky's the limit. I've probably already exceeded where I had initially hoped to reach by this point. So hope that we continue to fundraising, you know, well into the next few weeks and beyond.
Yeah, well, I know there's a lot of support, and, you know, like if we can help you in any way we can, obviously we will. I think the main thing is that people have got to remember in amongst, you know, the different things that are going on in the world that these people still need help. And so I did notice that there was 3 phases to the plan. So can you just talk us through what the thinking was there?
Sure. I think being so closely involved in local communities, real estate agents of all industries understand that the long-term repercussions of these types of instances, you know, we all have amongst our different networks people that, you know, live and work in these communities, and we're hearing the stories firsthand. So the 3-phase approach was all about not just being there when the disaster happens, but well beyond that. You know, these communities can take years to recover economically, and the impact goes well beyond those who are initially suffer a loss of their home or their business. So the first phase is all about relief. That's the crisis moment where fundraising is really, really important, and that's probably where most of our efforts are focused right now. In the middle phase, we're talking about rebuilding, obviously helping people rebuilding their homes, rebuilding their communities. That's the phase in which collecting goods that people have lost, you know, being able to collect those goods on behalf of St. Vincent de Paul will come into play. And the third phase is all about restoring those communities. We all have quite significant reach in terms of PR, the ability to tell stories, the ability to assist those economies, regenerate those economies. So we'll all be focusing on what we can do around that.
There's nothing like when the human spirit sort of gets going that there are some amazing stories that come out of adversity. So definitely looking forward to hearing more about the program as it goes on. If anyone who is not involved in the program now wants to get involved, how do they go about it?
Just get in touch. We're here. We're, you know, ready and waiting. The invitation's open to any group and any business in the industry. I guess if they're smaller offices, they can start up their own fundraiser without even having to call anybody, because from the homepage, you can set up a fundraiser, upload your business logo and start collecting funds for the charity of your choice. There's four different charities currently on the website: Salvation Army, Red Cross, St. Vincent de Paul and World Wildlife Fund Australia, which is focused on not only animal rescue but climate issues and reforestation, restoration of habitats. So they can set up their own fundraiser. If it's a larger group that, you know, needs its own page, that's going to have multiple offices wanting to do their own fundraisers, get in touch. You know, we can help them with that as well.
Yeah, amazing. Now, Ray White had quite a big 2019, even though the market was a little bit down. We still saw the Ray White Network grow.
Yes.
And a lot of good news coming out of Ray White. So I'd love to ask you a few questions about some of the marketing campaigns that were intertwined in that, because it was a big year for marketing in Ray White.
Yes, it was.
Kicking off with the Great Campaign.
Yes.
So what was the inspiration behind the Great Campaign?
In taking over the marketing remit, it was really important for us to align our commercial needs, I guess, with marketing. And at the same time, I really wanted to take the opportunity to break Ray White out of the real estate category. I think that a lot of marketing that's done in our industry is quite repetitive and predictable. The last thing I wanted to do was have another free appraisal in your street type, yep, Joel Spring has sprung, if I see another one of those. And so, you know, we took quite a lot of time thinking about what that might look like and taking inspiration from other industries. The Great Australian Dream campaign was completely out of the box. It probably shocked quite a few people that we took such a sort of left of centre position. But we did achieve what we wanted to do. We did break out of the category. We certainly attracted a lot of attention. And it was certainly something that signified the very first big brand campaign. Ray White as a group has always grown off the back of our agents' ability to market themselves, and largely through VPA. So this was more about, let's be strategic as a brand and elevate our brand and tell the truth of who we are. You know, a lot of people may not realise that we're the biggest, that we are family owned, that, you know, that we are an Australian company that's been here for 120 years almost. So those elements were really important to us.
The family aspect is a really interesting one. I mean, I had the opportunity, I think it was about a year and a half ago, to interview Brian and Paul at The Shed, which was a pretty special experience. You can actually sort of feel the family around you. And I think that's the lovely bit of that great campaign, was that family, the home thing, which hasn't been lost throughout the years.
And I think that's the reason why so many of us involved in the leadership team have been a part of the company for so many years. The family element is really compelling. And interestingly, a lot of consumers aren't aware of that aspect of our business. The heart of our business is very much that family element, and there is so much history and legacy in that.
The other campaign that was pretty cool that you rolled out was the Hide and Seek campaign.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about that one and how you came up with that one.
So at the time that we innovated the Hide and Seek campaign, you know, if you'll recall, sort of midway through last year, there was a lot of uncertainty around the industry. We didn't know, you know, what was going to happen with the market. Consumers were nervous. Sellers were holding back. Buyers were holding back. Transaction numbers were down. And we felt like it was a game of hide and seek, and we wanted to, I guess, take a playful approach to getting people more inclined to, rather than view it as a stressful thing, to sort of view it as more of an opportunity. And I guess, again, you know, our brand values are very much around humility, having a bit of fun, being progressive and being a bit clever. And I think we hit all of those points with our hide and seek campaign. The great thing about it was that a lot of the actors that you see in that piece are actually members of our network too, which was really fun.
Yeah, absolutely. For people that perhaps aren't as large, like for some of the smaller real estate offices. When you're planning a marketing campaign like this, whether it's big or small, what are some of the things that you think about first to get you to a point where you come up with an end product that is as amazing as those ones?
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you to say. I think the most important thing in every aspect of business, whether it's marketing or technology or whatever it is, whichever department you work in, I think authenticity and integrity is really critical as a starting point. And I think particularly today, consumers, you know, if we talk specifically about marketing, not interested in being sold a story. They're interested in hearing something that has that ring of truth around it that comes from an authentic place. And so that's our starting position, and that's what I would always recommend. There's no point in promising the world and delivering something less than that.
Mm. You don't really need a big budget either. It's just a matter of actually starting from that place of authenticity and talking about who you are and what you do and how you'll serve.
I think you'd be surprised what a skinny budget we actually work on. I think there's probably a perception that because we are the biggest that we throw lots of money around at these things. That's absolutely not the case. As you know, real estate is a cottage industry largely. We make every dollar count. We think very carefully about how we spend our marketing dollars. And like I say, I think you can be clever without spending millions of dollars. That's not the part that makes it clever or fun or gets traction with consumers.
Yeah, actually, you just reminded me of, you know, where you said clever and fun. So you're also famous for your April 1 videos.
Yes.
Over the years, I think they've hooked a few people in.
Yes.
Will there be any more of those coming up this year?
Absolutely. Well, look, we didn't do one last year, and that was a very conscious decision because we just felt that although we're lucky, we are obviously being so widely spread geographically, we are not as susceptible to smaller groups that are sort of based in one region to market shifts. But at the same time, you know, our Victorian and our New South Wales members in particular were really suffering when it was April last year. And so the last thing we wanted to do was expend our resources on, you know, something that was just fun. The year before, which was my first year in the seat, we did our underwater campaign, which went really, really well.
I remember that one. It looks so real.
Well, funny story there, Sam. Actually, our media team got a call from Russia not long after that, a Russian journalist who was insistent on us supplying more detail around this development. And they actually wouldn't believe that it was a joke. This year we'll definitely be rolling something out, I would say, and I think the team's already thinking about what that looks like.
It's not that far away, really, is it?
It's not.
It'll come up so quick. Can I ask you about social media? Because a lot of agents are sort of, you know, there's a lot of opinions on social media out there and how useful it is from a marketing perspective. What are your thoughts, both from a franchise point of view and from a franchisee point of view?
Sure. Well, you know, there's no doubt that social media is consuming an enormous amount of attention. So you absolutely have to have a presence. There's no doubt about that. You know, it would be folly to think that you're going to get a great following just by putting up your listings. You know, social media presence needs to be about more than that. And once again, I think it's really important to come from a place of authenticity and to deliver content that people will engage with. Vanity metrics are sort of nothing. If you're just looking at how many likes you've got or how many posts someone's making, that's kind of irrelevant. The stats that we monitor are more around, you know, how many shares, how many comments, you know, how many true engagements are we getting with the posts that we're making. And social media team are constantly, you know, A/B testing and changing strategy and trying different things to ensure that we're delivering on our brand promise.
Do you help your franchisees with their social media posts? Do you have some guidelines and things like that that you live by?
Absolutely. And it's probably one of the hot topics for our members. We do have a social media playbook that is specific for our network that sets out sort of what to post, when, and on which channels. We also have a service whereby we can post on behalf of our network, our offices three times a week. So that kind of gives them a baseline of compelling brand content, if you like, and then they are encouraged to localise that with content that's specific to their local community. So yes, it's education process is ongoing with social and a really important part of our marketing business.
Yeah, my cousin works for Ray White, so I keep an eye on his social media to make sure he continues to be on brand.
Great.
I'll let you know if he strays.
The brand police will be happy to know.
Absolutely. So the other part of this interview is, of course, the leadership diaries, because you run a rather large team and you've been at Ray White for about 20 years. So we have this series of questions that we've asked several people from Ray White before about leadership for aspiring leaders. not necessarily about marketing, but, you know, about your journey. And they're rapid fire questions, and I know that you probably haven't seen them before. So
I'm nervous now, Sam.
No, don't be nervous. Don't be nervous. Easy. Okay, so what was your first job and what did it teach you?
Oh, I lugged fruit in a fruit shop, actually. It taught me that I'm carrying 20 kilos of potatoes when you're 45 kilos is really hard. But if you want to play with the big boys, you've got to give it a go.
That's good advice. What does the first hour of your day look like? Are you a 5 a.m. clubber?
No, I don't go to the gym, if that's what you mean, first thing in the morning. I am more clear my head, check my email, make sure I'm, you know, check my calendar and figure out what I have on for the day so I can get programmed and in the right headspace. Probably also importantly see what gaps I have in my day and think about what I can get done in those gaps. That's probably my setup for the day.
And can you name someone that has had a tremendous impact on you as a leader?
I do have a mentor and business coach I've sort of worked with for many, many years, who's an incredibly inspiring lady called Jane Anson. And I would say she's been an enormous inspiration to me.
This is a tough question because I know there's such a heavy emphasis on education at Ray White, but who would you say you're learning from most right now?
My team, I would say. I think leading is about following as much as it is about leading. So I think I'm, you know, that's probably the most enjoyable part of my job and the part where I learn the most, and I'm constantly learning.
Let me ask you this question from a marketing perspective is, where do great ideas generally come from in your team? And what has been a recent great idea, perhaps one that we haven't talked about?
Ideas are very organic in my team. My team is really collaborative. And so a great idea might come from one of our media guys or, you know, one of our designers, or it really could come from anywhere. And it's difficult to pick a great idea because oftentimes when we have a great idea, it's hard to pinpoint one person that it's come from, because an idea will be built on and changed and challenged in group discussions. What's a great idea? Again, I would struggle to say which one. We have 52 campaigns on the campaign calendar this year. So the creativity is just going nuts at the moment in Ray White's marketing team. And I'd struggle to pick just one.
Yeah, amazing. 52 campaigns.
Correct.
Wow.
We're going to be busy.
Absolutely.
Not that every office will run everyone, but it's important to, you know, in any brand, I think it's really important to offer flexibility and choice. I guess that's just a segue for a moment. And an important probably misconception around a group as large as ours is brand consistency is really important. That's absolutely true. But it's not about policing things. It's about everyone wearing the team colours, but at the same time allowing everyone to have their own play, their own unique twist on that team effort.
Different things work in different markets. I mean, you've got a big rural division, for example, and their marketing is going to be quite different to, say, someone in a city.
Correct.
Things like that.
Even suburb to suburb, state to state, absolutely. Even agent to agent.
Yeah. I think that's something that everyone probably doesn't get, is that how diverse you need to be from a franchisor point of view to make sure that all of those franchisees are supported in the way that they need to be.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, my team is 18, however, and that sounds like an enormous team for marketing, but at the same time we're servicing, you know, a corporate team of 300. We run three brands. We have 12,000 members. You know, there's a huge number of stakeholders involved in our business, and so we're constantly moving at pace and a huge output, absolutely massive output.
How do you balance yourself? Like, that must be an enormous workload. So how do you manage your work life?
I think it's important to recognise that getting more productive isn't about working 24 hours a day. It is something I have constantly check myself on, that I'm not working too long. I think when you work too long, you actually become less productive. It's really important to stay engaged with the network, to take time out to have conversations with people, because you can completely reset your thinking by stepping away. That balance between working hard and also resting your brain is really important.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, actually. Sometimes the answer comes to me in the strangest of ways, but it's usually not when I'm sitting there hammering hard on the keyboard.
Correct. And, you know, it can come from the strangest place. You know, my daughter's 15 and she's great at, you know, the reality checks.
Yeah.
pretty hard, you know, to not look at life realistically when you've got a teenager.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you on that one as well. If someone were to apply for a job in your team, what is one question that you would ask them and what does it tell you about the person?
I think that's a tricky one again, Sam, because it would depend on what the job is. The thing that I look most for in anyone that would want to join my team is desire. I really think that people can achieve whatever they want if they want it hard enough. And it doesn't really matter to me if someone has experience or not experience. It's more about that real desire to be part of a team, work collaboratively and to be successful. There's not much you can't learn, you know, if you have that desire to learn it. My questions would all be around that.
Absolutely. This is an interesting question from a Ray White perspective, actually. What's the best way for you to help a new team member understand the culture of the business?
The thing I always say to anyone who joins Ray White is to understand that it's not a business, it's an organism. That sounds strange, but what I mean by that is that there's so many interconnecting relationships. Our whole business is built on relationships. And if you think you're walking into a normal business structure where there's going to be straightforward ways from A to B, you'll be constantly frustrated because that's not the way that it works. I think part of that is because there are so many people in the group, whether it's network or corporate, that have been here for a long time. Relationships and trust between long-term colleagues can run very deep. So it's important. I think the first 6 months is all about just trying to absorb what that means and learn it and understand it. If you don't get it, you know, step back and let it be absorbed, you'll never be successful in this business. In a corporate sense.
It's interesting, and that's actually, I've never heard it described this that way, but an organism is actually a really good way to describe a business these days because people grow and they change and they're different. You know, you might end up down one sort of area one day because everything changes so quickly outside a business.
And I think, you know, particularly because we're a family-owned business, it's been really surprising throughout my career with Ray White at the different challenges that have been thrown at me by Brian White, first of all, when he was sort of running the business, and now Dan. You know, the number of curveballs I've been thrown, Lise, do you want to do this? Lise, can you do that? And the number of times I've sat back and, oh, never would have even thought of doing that or that I could do that. And yet, you know, I've caught those balls, I've run with those balls, and I've surprised myself in many instances that I've actually been able to do the things that have been asked of me.
So the lesson there is that we are all more capable than we think we are.
I think that's probably very true. And, you know, trusting that someone will be able to do something that they maybe haven't done before is, again, an important part of leadership, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. What's your favourite book on either leadership or marketing or on business that you think everybody should read?
We have a book club in my management team and we are constantly reading books about leadership. So I'm probably the most recent one we've read sticks out in my mind, Legacy, which is the one about the All Blacks. Anyone who knows me knows that I can't stand sport. And actually, when one of my managers suggested we read this book, I inwardly rolled my eyeballs thinking I would be bored to death. And I was actually so pleasantly surprised. I was actually inspired because, you know, such a high-performing world-class team like the All Blacks, many of the elements that are in that team, you know, should be in businesses. That leadership, the coach, the teamwork, the refusal to accept second best. I just thought it was a great book. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of my favourites. I love the No One's Bigger Than the Jersey.
Yes.
Interesting, which I suppose there are brand parallels there too.
And we're big Simon Sinek fans as well, so I have to throw him in there in the mix. We've read most of his books at this point.
He's a pretty good too. So, Lisa, thank you so much for spending some time with us today to talk about marketing and beyond the bricks and leadership in general. It's been really good and I'm sure people are going to get a lot out of some of your answers there. I normally say, is there one thing you want to leave everyone with? But I think there's two. Number one is to get involved in Beyond the Bricks. It's beyondthebricks.com.au and we'll leave some links in the show notes and all that sort of thing. But if there was one piece of advice or anything like that that you'd like to leave people with in closing, what would it be?
Every business is only as successful as its people. Take the time, you know, spend time with your people. It'll never be wasted time. That's all there is ultimately. I'm concerned about the digital age, you know, distancing people from each other, and that, you know, can be counterproductive to good relationships. So spending time face to face, not sending text messages, not sending emails, actually spending time. I don't think there's any better use of time as a leader.
Yeah, absolutely. Great advice, Lisa Pennell. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sam. Have a great day.
To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.